I wanted to talk about. Now, this class, I'll be honest, it's very different than a lot of the other Simcha seminar classes that I've presented with your girls in the past. So, for example, in the past, I talked about adding stuff to our lives. Adding stuff to our lives that will bring more simcha, bring more joy into our lives if we actually embrace it. Okay, so right, what did we talk about, for example, or some of the ideas we threw out there?
Exercising
is something we can add into our life to bring more simcha into our lives. What else?
Your goals.
Journaling.
Writing. Listening to happy music.
Writing goals. Right? So all of this stuff is like extra stuff in your busy schedule.
Me and Tali, whenever we were sad and wanted to be happy, we always play Odi Shama and act like we're at a wedding.
Great. I'm very glad that you're doing that. So that's wonderful. Olivia, but listen, this year is actually something different. This year is actually about not adding more things to your to-do list, but at the end of our class, I'm going to ask you to cut out some things from your to-do list, because that's also one of the most important ways in which we can access true simcha. And we'll try to jump into that right now. Yeah.
You need to take stuff off your to-do list to become happier.
Okay. What I mean is that sometimes in life, we have so many things that we're trying to do, and as always, I'm primarily talking to myself, we're trying to do so many good things, but because we're running from thing to thing to thing to thing, we don't have time to enjoy the actual things we're doing. We're feeling pressured and we're feeling stressed. And so it's very hard to do it, but sometimes we need to learn to say no, to do less, but to do what we do with all our hearts and do it with more joy. So that's, in a nutshell, what I'm going to be trying to sell you girls in the next 35 minutes. In order to do that, let me start with a really fascinating study from Princeton University. So check this story out. Pretty cool. Very nice. So here's a story, girls. You with me? So there was John Darley and Daniel Bastin are two psychologists, and they did a really amazing study. Listen up, girls. Girls, really, I'm going to ask no chatter. Zero chatter. Because it really... Yeah, you can turn on the light.
I'm going to distance myself from my friends so I don't talk.
Okay, great. Appreciate that. All in favor of lights on, raise your hands. All in favor of lights off. I think lights off wins. Okay. All right. So listen to this study, girls. So they took two groups, okay? And they're both preachers. They're in preacher school. And they're being told, we're going to pay you a little money. All you got to do is deliver a sermon. Which sermon? It's called the Good Samaritan Sermon. It's all about being a good guy and helping other people when they need help. Okay, that's what they're going to give a sermon. So they spend a few minutes writing their speech. And then they have two groups. Now, one group, they tell them, it will be a few more minutes till they're ready for you, but you might as well head on over. That's group number one. You know, you got time, head on over. The other group, they said, oh, shoot, you're late. They were expecting you a few minutes ago. You better hurry. Get out of it. Go, quick. And it's like a 10-minute walk to the campus. And here's the cool part. They planted a person, an actor, to be pretending like he was hurt on the sidewalks and needed help. Needed someone to come over and see how he's doing. Okay? So percentage-wise, what do you think? How many of the people who were... had plenty of time, remember giving a sermon about being a good person, stopped to help the beggar, the poor person who needed help? What percentage? Throw out numbers. 2/3, pretty good, 66%. What percentage of the people who were in a rush stopped to help the person who needed help? 10%. That's it. Even though they're going to do a speech, here's the crazy thing, about being a nice person, but when you're in a rush, probably not so much that they didn't care, but rather what happened? They're in a rush, and therefore they probably didn't even notice. They probably didn't even realize that there was a guy walking hurt because they're rushing by. Or they kind of noticed, but somebody else will deal with it because they got to do this big mitzvah and they're in a rush, right? So why do I love this study? Because it really makes, sometimes it's my life. I feel like that happens so often that when you're rushing from doing one mitzvah to another mitzvah or one good thing to another good thing, what sometimes happens? You miss out on other people. You miss out. You run other people down, or at least you don't notice opportunities to help other people. And that's certainly one of the reasons why it's great to slow down sometimes. I tell you a great story. So as one of the main reasons I do this class, the Simcha Seminar, is because I prepare for it all week, and it puts me in a certain zone. Whenever I'm learning about it, I'm like in that zone. So today I sat down in the Rova to write this class, and I didn't schedule like another tour in like 2 hours. I didn't like overdo it. I dafka tried to like slow down, sit outside, you know, chill out and write this class organized, you know? That's why there's like source sheets and all this extra stuff today. And as I'm doing that, I see a friend of mine who needs help. And I was like, why not? And I had all the time. So I was able to help him in the robe and bring all of his luggage to his apartment. And this happened a few times in this 2 hours of writing this class. I was able to help so many people that the simple way I did it was I had time. I wasn't in a rush. When you're not in a rush and you want to do good, obviously you have to want to do good, then great things happen. You with me so far, girls? I'll tell you another story, and then we'll get into some sources. So I've had the zechut to travel around the world a little bit, and I was once in Zimbabwe. I was doing a shlichus in Zimbabwe.
Where is that?
In Africa, in this kind of, in the middle of nowhere country. And I really loved Zimbabwe. Why do I love Zimbabwe? Actually, just because no one's in a rush there. They have nothing to do. They're a very different culture than Americans, certainly Jewish Americans, certainly Jewish Israelis, where we want to accomplish, we want to do, right? It's in our blood. We have more Nobel Bell Prizes than anyone. It's just part of our genes. We want to do. And they are just chillers. And they're just sitting down. Their whole day might be just hanging out with the family. Maybe they'll work a little bit, maybe not. And like people there are just so friendly and so nice. And, you know, they have time. Not everyone, but a lot of people really like are nice people. And honestly, I wish when I got back to Israel that people would have that same smile and have that same amount of time. I know it's coming from a good place. I know that, you know, we're doing stuff. But, you know, it just taught me something. Like there is a value of chilling out a little bit and, you know, making space for not always doing, but for being. Yeah? You all with me? A little bit? Okay, great. So that's story time. What about in the Jewish perspective? Because this is supposed to also be a shiur, right? We're not just supposed to talk about psychology. So what do you think Jewish sources, are there any Torah sources that come to your minds which are all about this idea of taking a break, of stopping and connecting? Yeah, what do you think, Haley?
Tomorrow's our
150th. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
So that's okay. So that's kind of related to what we're talking about.
No, you asked once sometimes that you take a break. So I feel like I've been really good at that because I just realized that tomorrow's the 100th day and it doesn't feel like I've been here that long.
Yeah.
So that means that I must have been. Huh? No, I must have been taking like good breaks because the learning, like, I'm just keep not going. So overwhelming to me.
Great. And also I think actually, it's actually true that right now we're like taking a moment in the middle of our class and breaking and like being like, whoa, 100 days in Sem. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Shabbat.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Well, then we'll get to you in a second, Abby. Girls, Shabbat was the first idea that came to my head too, where Hashem says, even I rest. Hashem says, listen, I'm a pretty strong, powerful guy, but even I need to take the seventh day and Shabbat Bayinafash, and I rest. So obviously what Hashem's trying to get at is that you also, you human beings, you need to be resting. You need to be present. You need to be connected and take a break from your cell phones and distractions, especially in the middle of class, and listen, because that, it's not, I know, We're all connected. We're all one, you know? So we should all, like, take a break. So I think Shabbat is a great example of that. Abby had a thought? Oh, okay. Something we've touched on before. Exactly. Of taking a break and not just, like, doing in the future, but, like, stopping at the end of our day, thinking a little bit about where we've been moving. So definitely Cheshbon Nefesh connects to this concept for sure. Okay, beautiful. So I want to throw a few more Jewish sources out there, and then we'll wrap up with the practical takeaway as we try to do. So first thought, I went to Pirkei Avos, one of my favorite books, and Pirkei Avos gives us advice. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinah, the first Mishnah, gives us the whole history of the Jewish people. And then the Ante Knesses give us a piece of advice. They say in the first source, Hemar Mashlosh of the Arim, Hevu Mitunin Bedin. Be patient. Literally, the first piece of advice Pirkei Avos tells us is chill out. Don't rush into decisions. And it's such important advice, especially from experienced girls, big decisions. Don't rush into them, right? Let it sit. You went out with a guy, you know, 2 dates. It's going great. He proposes to you on the 3rd date. Don't just jump into it. Breathe a little bit. Think, it's going good. Let's keep, you know, let's think about this a little bit. Let's keep it going. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to big decisions, especially, it helps, especially when you're on the fence, when you don't really know and people are putting pressure upon you to, like, just decide. I don't know. And you know what oftentimes actually brings the clarity when you're not sure what to do with these big decisions in life? Davening helps, for sure. Time.
Going to the Kotel.
Going to the Kotel and davening. Oh, I'm a big fan, for sure.
Really?
I am. I'm
going tonight.
Amazing. Me too.
Really? Me too.
I'm going to the Old City. I'm not going to the Kotel.
I'll see you there.
Right after class.
Who lives there?
I live in the Old
City. You live in the Old City?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm there every day.
Because she's not walking. I'm not walking.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Wait, do
they
ever go to your house?
What?
Do they ever go to your house?
Like, not yet.
Yeah.
Girls, we're a little off topic. Okay, let's refocus. The point is, when you have a big decision in life, give it time. Give it time. With time, very often, if you have time, clarity comes. So Pirkei Avos says, be patient before you make a decision. And I think that's beautiful advice.
Like that.
Yeah.
Do you think there's such a thing as, like, overthinking, though? Like, sometimes you just have to, like, make the decision, not spend as much time focusing on it,
because
then they'll just
start overthinking. Yeah, no, for sure. You're 100% right. Sometimes the answer, you intuitively know the right answer, and for some reason we push it off, we have fears and all sorts. Life is complicated. I know it's hard to say in the abstract an answer to every situation. You know, every situation is unique. And talk it over with good friends and pray to God and please God, you'll have clarity, you know, to make the right decisions. But it's hard to know. I'd have to know a specific situation to give you better advice than that. Sorry. But in general, thinking about things is a good piece of advice. Okay. What other piece of advice do I call from the Torah? I already talked about Shabbos. Here's one of my favorite Rashis. Okay, I looked this one up. I was looking for it. I was so excited when I found it. So do you girls know, this is on the third source sheet, source above, Rashi al-Vayikra. Do you girls know why there are breaks between the Torah? You know how there's 7 Torah readings? Why is that? Why don't we just read it all in one shot? Why do we have to stop, go, stop, read, stop, read? I mean, it'd be a lot faster. We'd save 20 minutes from Misha Baruch's. Why not just read the whole thing together? Why do we have breaks? Yeah.
Maybe it's like to take time and like take in what you just read.
Beautiful. So Rashi says, Hakol Alech Megil Aznav. There was a voice that came to Moshe. I'm just getting to the bottom. Mayu Hafsakot Meshavshot. But God stopped. Why did God stop with the Hafsakot? Why did God stop speaking to Moshe sometimes? Liten Revach LeMoshe Litbonen Ben Parsha LeParsha Uven Inyan LeInyan. So that Moshe could think about the Torah that was just
also
given to him. Yeah.
Like, if let's say you have to read something for, like, a really long time, like, you're not done until the end, and you choose to take breaks, like, you're like, I just want to get to the end, like, you're not, like, actually focused on it, but when, like, it's, like, a break in between, you're not going to be, like, you're not going to get to the point where, like, oh, you just have to finish, like, I don't care anymore. Because mm-hmm. you have enough time, you said it, and then you have a break.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. What Tali's saying makes a lot of sense to me. But no, I agree. It's nice. It's good. It's good. So for a lot of reasons, breaks are helpful. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was taught by God when God took a break by teaching him the Torah. And this is what we mimic when we're supposed to be actually thinking about the Torah that we just heard and letting it process a little bit and let, you know, not just going from immediately. We are built into the Torah reading, have some processing time. Yeah, you have a question? No, you're good. Okay.
Sorry.
So that was just, I thought, a really beautiful insight of Rashi. Another Torah source that relates to our topic, on Har Sinai, listen to the following pasuk, the source Zayin. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, and God speaks to Moses on the mountain saying, Ale elai hahara, go up to the mountain, veheye sham. What does that mean? How do you translate veheye sham? Not and there it will be, but
wait,
close.
There. Wait there.
And be there.
Yeah, that
and just be there. So that's one of those psukim that if you don't read it carefully, you miss gold. Because what is the Kadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu? What's he telling Moshe in that pasuk?
That be there.
Be present.
Yeah.
Okay? Mamish.
And like be focused and like right how be present.
Very good, very good.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm going more into like
that's deep. That's deep. Beautiful. So yeah, I think it's on my picture sheet. What I'm telling you guys.
It looks like this one is saying like. This last one looks like it's saying like be homeless.
Why are you homeless?
No. So that no, I'll explain. The first one is saying slow down. That's the topic. The second one is that homeless person that we're gonna miss if we're rushing through life. So that's why I put a little reminder.
Okay.
And on the third page, I wrote a great quote. Henry David Thoreau writes, you must live in the present. Launch yourself on every wave. Find eternity, your eternity in each moment. Remember when we were having that eating meditation? Didn't the ice cream, didn't the food taste, the drink taste so much better because we were being present with the taste as opposed to just rushing through it while we're doing 300 different things?
Yeah.
Right? So that's what Akash Baruch was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the same thing with Torah. If you never really are present with Torah and just like take time to actually learn the psukim and think about them and ask questions and then really like try to just be one with it, you're not going to taste the truth of the Torah. You're not going to taste the sweetness of the Torah. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is being told back at Mount Sinai. Pretty gorgeous. Yeah? Okay. Source number 9. Another, I think, very... Yes, there are plenty of source sheets right here. And we're at the end. Okay. I don't know where it is. It's here, source 9. Here. Here you go, and you can take some pictures too.
Thanks.
If you want. Okay. The Tanya. You guys, you gals know who wrote
yeah.
the Tanya?
Oh,
who
wrote... no, I thought you were gonna ask what it means.
What does it mean?
Well, I just either we learned your breath or mishnah.
It's true. So that is what it means in Gemara language. But it also, the Tanya is the most important Chabad Sefer.
Wait, who wrote it?
The Alter Rebbe, exactly. Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, who is the founder of the Chabad movement. And we just celebrated 2 days ago in Chabad. Yad Kislev, exactly. And he wrote a book called the Tanya. Okay? And the Tanya is an amazing work. I actually learned it in my Shana Aleph, and I can't summarize it in one sentence, but I want to tell you one of my favorite ideas that I got from the Tanya. And it's almost the opposite of this entire course. This whole course, I've been trying to give you girls advice about how to be happier human beings, and I still stand by everything I did. But the Tanya says that we have different levels of the soul. And on one level of our soul is a chelik of God, a chelik of Elokim Yima'a. And therefore, we don't actually have to do anything in order to be happy. Okay? Because why aren't we happy sometimes? Because stuff distracts us from our true inner happiness. Materialism, physicality, sins, all sorts of things kind of take us away from our true soul. But in essence... we are actually happy. We don't have to do anything to do happy. Okay? And by the way, maybe you've noticed this. Maybe you went through a really hard time sometimes. I don't know. Your boyfriend broke up with you or something. Or you just had a tough week. And then, amazingly enough, a week or two later, you're back to your old self. Anybody ever have an experience like that where it felt like it was going to last, it was going to be terrible forever, and then you actually were okay pretty soon afterwards? Yeah? It happens. You know why it happens? Because you're a soul. So Hashem built into you this natural happiness mechanism. So all you have to do is not get distracted by all these things which pull us towards sadness. And if we get away all that ick, we're going to be happy. All we need to be is slow down and be present with our true selves. And the Tanya is telling us we're already there. We don't have to do anything. Yeah?
What does it say about people who go through depression and they can't control it?
Right. It's true. It's a good question. First of all, there are definitely always exceptions to the rules. Right? We may be speaking in general about people, and there might be certain people which, Rahman al-Itfan, you know, have certain challenges that makes their, I guess, set point less happy. Also, what I would say is, honestly, the other Rebbe is talking about five different levels of the soul. So there may be one level of the soul which is naturally happy, but we may not always be connected and accessing that level of the soul. We may be being caught up with other levels of the soul. So it's a complicated discussion, but in any case, I thought it was an inspiring thought, something fascinating to think about on the concept of just being present and happiness coming back to us. Okay? In source number 10, I want to quote one of my favorite quotes from Rav Kook. You guys have learned a little bit about Rav Kook, I assume, over the course of the year. Yeah, maybe a little bit. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, who's not only the founder of religious Zionism, but also just one of the most amazing minds and hearts and souls of the entire generation. And so I have translated to English a gorgeous quote of his. Listen up. Girls listening? It's in English. It's in Source 10. In all your ways, know Hashem. B'chol darchecha de'eu. This is probably the fundamental verse in Chassidus. You have to try to know Hashem through every single action in your life. Is an opportunity to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One must search for God in everything one does. When praying, one must search for God by trying to focus on the words of prayer with deep concentration and a dedicated heart. One must not search for God in other matters at the moment, right? You know how those guys who, like, in the middle of davening are, like, reading their books and, like, right, being, you know, doing all stuff like that? He doesn't like that. When you're davening, Rav Kook says, daven. Just focus on davening. Indeed, while involved in that specific action, it may be said that God can be found within that action and nothing else. If I'm looking for God somewhere else, I'm not going to find him. Right now, you're learning this year, this is the place to find Hashem. Whatever's happening anywhere else is not relevant. This is the only thing that's relevant.
But a lot of the time we get distracted.
We do. We have to remind ourselves that this Rav Kook, that Hashem is here. He's not over there. Whatever's going on at dinner, at whatever, that's not relevant. Hashem is right
here. That's so hard.
I didn't tell you any of this course is hard. I started this course out saying everything I tell you is going to be hard. Everyone knows it intuitively, and it's very hard. And you have to work on gaining habits to make it easy. And every day is a new battle.
How about like ADHD?
It's hard. It's a challenge. It's very hard. We could still do it. Bezrat Hashem. We can do anything. We put our heart and mind to. When studying Torah, one must realize that God is found in the very act of analyzing and trying to understand each idea. At that moment, God reveals himself in that specific action and not in anything else. Okay? So girls, right now, your way of connecting to Hashem is not davening, is not planning chesed, is not doing shiduchim, it's learning Torah. And you're doing shiduchim, that's great. Okay? And finally, when involved in gemilus chasadim, when I'm at a wedding and dancing, and this, by the way, is hard for me because I like to think about Torah wherever I'm going, but I'm doing chesed, one must search for God by trying to uncover the best possible way to help one's friend. I'm thinking, oh, maybe the Kala needs some water. Oh, maybe I could do a good shtick and make her happy in this way or that way. Oh, maybe that guy, that's my mitzvah. I got to focus on doing chesed in the best way, right? And I'll take this, when I was in the army, some of my friends were amazing at this. They were the best soldiers. They weren't focusing on the Gemara when they were, you know, fighting. They're fighting. And when they had a break, they were learning. But they're in the moment. I'm sometimes this is hard for me, to be honest. But this is what Rav Kook is telling us. Do not all matters in the world uncover the divine? Therefore, everything a person does should be understood as a mitzvah. Because one must search for God in every action. We may accurately say that one who dedicates his or entire mind and strength to performing every action with the greatest level of perfection knows God in all of his ways. So it doesn't matter if I'm playing sports, if I'm exercising, if I'm journaling, if I'm eating, every action, if it's part of within the rubric of halacha, obviously, if it's not against the Torah, but if it's permitted and it can be a service of Hashem, but we need to put our whole heart and soul into that action and that action alone, being present with that one thing. Okay? That's what Rav Kook is saying. It's, again, I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy for me either. But this is the ideal that he says we should be striving towards, and I think intuitively we know that's right. That makes sense. And we're learning, we daven, and that's, and every day we have to view like Zeh Hayom. I had a rabbi, Rav Yaakov Nagin, and every single shir he would always start off and he would say Zeh Hayom Asa Adonai Nagila V'Nismecha Bo. This is a day that Hashem created me. I have to rejoice. He would say today. You know, Yud, whatever, Kislev, Tafshin, whatever, I'm going to serve Hashem. He would start every single shiur like that. And the idea I think he was trying to imbue us is that yesterday doesn't matter, tomorrow doesn't matter, only right now, being in the moment and serving Kadosh Baruch Hu, Be'ezrat Hashem. And by the way, I think, if you remember, a few weeks back, we also touched upon this concept when it came to tefillah. Remember we talked about meditative davening and slowing down our davening and breathing and slowing down our brachos. So I think this shiur, you know, works very well with that idea of using davening as a time to slow down on a practical level. When do I actually have time to kind of remind myself of this concept and just slow myself down? For me, it's when I daven. When I take that breath, Hashem Tzvatai Tivtach, that's when I slow myself down and I try to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, one more practical tip before I give you the exercise as to how do we actually inculcate slowing down into our lives? Inculcate. It's fancy language for put within our lives. Give me a piece of advice. I'm asking, okay, I come up and say, Tali, I need advice. I want to slow down in my life. Give me a practical time in my day when I can kind of slow myself down and be more present. Give me a piece of advice. Give me.
I think that maybe during your lunch break.
Okay.
You stuff yourself.
So make a set time in your day where
maybe you need to start waking up early.
Right. So. That does help, by the way. You're absolutely right. When
it's true. Like the other day, we went up early, went to get breakfast, and like it was so much like I felt so much more like when I got to school, I was
100%. Yeah, my idea. It's hard, but my ideal day was like today. My wife got me to go to bed on time, 10 o'clock-ish, and I was up by 5:30 for Nate's, and then I could learn a little bit without any pressures. I could prepare the shiur without any pressures before the whole world wakes up, get davening, and it's like really a totally different world when you wake up early and you slow yourself down and you can. I know, it's wild. It's not going to happen tonight. But
it's not really possible. It's unrealistic for us to really.
So 10:30.
You like go to bed at 10 because you're like,
no, I agree. I'm with you. I agree. I'm saying tonight I'm not going to get out of here till 10. So
we're not getting to start.
So maybe not 10. Okay. So maybe 10:30. Whatever your situation is. But when you get to go to bed early, it really does help. Yeah, but you shouldn't. You should go to bed early.
So today, last night, we were like, Katie's like, take care, we're going to go to sleep earlier. So we have to sleep at like 12:30. Okay. And then this morning, we got a text that our teacher wasn't here, so we just went to sleep. This is like my first class.
Good story. No, but Bezrat Hashem, tonight. Bezrat Hashem, tonight. What happened yesterday doesn't matter. Tonight is the night. All right, one last tip, and then I'm going to give you the exercise. It's called breathing. We all do it all the time. We did it in the beginning of our class. But we can use every single breath to just be moving, or we can use it as a way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah tells us, "Vayitzar Hashem Elokim et Adam min Adam, vayipach ba'apav nishmat chayim." Hashem breathed life into man. And every breath, we can close our eyes and feel like Hashem is recreating us, rebreathing life into us. And we can slow ourselves down and feel like Hashem's giving us a divine kiss and just center ourselves. And it's a great way of mamish feeling, slowing ourselves down and connecting. Okay, so what's the exercise? The exercise is the following, girls. What I want you to do for the next 5 minutes is write your to-do list for tomorrow. Write your to-do list, start out for the next 2 minutes. Write what you want to take care of tomorrow. Everything in chronological order. Start.